This is Emmanuel Episcopal Centennial Interview. You're talking to Mrs. Ellen Hibbard on September 17th, 1986 in Rapid City, South Dakota, by telephone. All right, you were born in?
Lake Andes in Charles Mix County.
And you were raised Episcopalian?
Right.
And your maiden name was Jones?
Jones.
And where were you married?
At Lake Andes.
At Lake Andes, what was your husband's name?
Burton Hibbard.
B-U-R-T-O-N.
B-E-R-T-O-N.
B-E-R-T-O-N. And he became, he entered the church as a young adult, so he was already Episcopalian.
Yes.
You lived in Sturgis, or you?
No.
Excuse me.
He lived in Spearfish.
Spearfish, all right. Where he was chief engineer for MDU?
No, he later became chief engineer for MDU. He was working in the Spearfish office at that time.
And then you moved to Rapid City in 1941?
Yes, after our marriage.
And you were married the same year, but before you came down here. And Reverend Pipes, minister. Now tell me about the ladies who called on you.
It was Mrs. Alma Bennett and Mrs. Stewart. I believe it was Charles Stewart. I can't remember for sure. Mrs. Alma Bennett was Chuck Bennett's mother. And those two ladies were very active in calling on newcomers.
And so they called on you
and invited
you in?
Yes.
If they hadn't, would you have gone elsewhere?
Oh, no. No, we were both Episcopalians.
So you would have come, but it was nice to be invited.
Yes.
Were you active in the church? Were you on guilds, societies, that sort of thing, or teach Sunday school?
Here, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
In Rapid. Yes, I became a member of St. Elizabeth's Guild. And, of course, they were all then, all the guilds were a part of what was called the General Guild.
That's interesting. I haven't heard of the General Guild. Tell us more.
Well, there were, I think, 8 women's groups at that time. And most of them met in homes once a month. But the General Guild was a gathering of representatives of all those guilds. General Guild conducted the business and was the connection between our church and the diocese.
This was just at the eve of the war. What were some of the church activities during the war?
Well, we were gone during the war. My husband worked in for DuPont and U.S. Rubber in Illinois during the war. But after I came back, here, they were at that time making layettes and doing some knitting for, I suppose you would say, for refugees.
This was after the war and
we came back in 45.
Was your husband active in any of the church activities?
They had a men's club at that time, and he attended those meetings and was at one time the president.
I gather he's passed on.
Yes. He also was on the vestry a time or two. But I don't remember what year that was.
Can you, what memories are outstanding regarding the church? Happy times, bad times?
Oh, I don't.
Funny times.
I don't remember any particularly bad times. I think it was interesting that at that time Mr. Pipes appeared at each guild meeting.
Each guild meeting?
He put in an appearance at all those women's meetings and was always present at the general guild meeting. And I remember having the diocese. Congregation then. During the time the parish house was being constructed, we had congregation. And most of the activities torn up.
Was that the YMCA in its present location then?
In its present location, but certainly not in its present state.
Yes. What, I understand there were fundraisers of various kinds to pay for the new parish hall. What sorts of fundraisers were there? What sorts of things did people do?
There was always the Fall Bazaar.
Fall Bazaar.
The Dorcas Guild had charge of that. There was always the Fall Bazaar. And the men's club dinners once a month brought in some money. And St. Margaret's Guild had a bridge tournament, which brought in some money. Those are the things I remember. Mr. Jennings, I did write 2 or 3 years ago at the request of the diocese a summary of the women's work in Emmanuel, and that is available. We had copies made. If there's something there that you could use.
Holy man. Can you give us a title or give us some handle where we can start looking for it?
I have it here. I think Mary Olson might have a copy there at the church.
It's very likely. If we can't, why, we'll come back to you and ask to copy your copy.
Because we did have some copies made and sent it over to Aberdeen for them to look at.
That is good. All right.
That was strictly women's work, you know, going back to
That's all part of
the early days, yes.
All right. Was Ellen Hibbert interview? This is the end of the interview.
W. Banks. I'd like to know if she's on your charter list. Have you ever found it?
Well, I haven't looked. No, my informant says your grandfather was a founder. Is that correct?
Well, I would say my grandmother probably accepted in those days women didn't do things in their own name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he probably was. They came from North Dakota, from Northern Dakota Territory to Rapid City. The grandfather came 1888, probably, and the mother and children came in the spring of 1889 after school was out in Grand Forks. And your church wasn't founded until after that.
Well, it was founded in 87, at least that's when they laid the cornerstone.
Oh, well, they would have been in the early memberships after they got here in 1889 or 1888.
And
what I know is peripheral. As I say, I used to go to Emmanuel once in a while with a girlfriend who was Episcopalian. To me, it was a great big mystery, all this jumping up and down and saying prayers and stuff, because I'm congregational.
You're congregational. You don't do that, no?
No. Well, my father was raised Episcopalian. My mother was raised Baptist. So when they were married, they had a friend who was a lady congregational minister.
Uh-huh.
And through that, they compromised, you see. My mother had been originally congregational when she was a tiny child. She came in 1886 at the age of 4. That was Mrs. Steve Banks.
Repeat that name?
Eva Banks, Mrs. Steve Banks.
Okay.
And her folks were Baptists from Ohio. And there was the congregational was the only Protestant church running in Rapid City in 1886. So they went there until the Baptists got organized in 89.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother went to Congregational Sunday School to Mrs. Gossage from 1886 to 1889. And she said she never really wanted to move with her folks. She always felt like she belonged in the other church. And I went to school to Mrs. Goss, Sunday school to Mrs. Gossage. Believe it or not, but my kids, Mrs. Gossage was gone by the time my kids came along. They went to Miss Bible.
What was grandfather's name?
A.W.
A.W.?
Alfred W. Banks.
Banks.
Archie and I, our first cousins, our grandfather came here and started a law office in Rapid City, leaving a law office with his older sons in Grand Forks. And the Grand Forks office ran till 20 years or so ago when the last of our cousins retired or died off or something. But Archie is still, business is still running here. A.W. Banks' name is still on the letterheads, I think. It used to be anyway.
Archie. Bring me up to date on Archie. Who is Archie?
Archie Banks, the lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was congregational more than he was Episcopalian. They went to both. But he was divorced, and at that time, the Episcopalian Church did not remarry either party to a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So he was remarried in the Congregational Church. But he was very active in St., whichever saint lives in the west end of town. I have an awful time with just saying St. Charles. He was active in that. But our grandparents probably were, if not charter members, depended on when they dated their charter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know that. I'd like if you dig those up.
We'll dig that up, yeah.
I don't know if you've got the records.
Oh, I think they got pretty good records.
I hope they have. I know we congregationalists do. We have the first minute book. And all the other minute books. But it's an old notebook written in black ink that's turning brown, but it's still readable. Has a few old scandals in it.
Yes.
Where they excommunicated a man because of his can't remember how they worded it anyway. He apparently been a little too lively. And refused to repent.
Oh, that's,
so they booted him out. It wasn't what he did, but he didn't repent.
Okey-dokey.
Well, anything I can help you with, but I don't have much of anything that you wouldn't have access to. There was along in 1936, the Journal got out a issue of, 50 years or something or other. And it has a history of the various churches. I have copies, and we have copies down at the Minnelusa Museum.
Good.
And so on. They're easier to read than microfilm.
You bet.
A whole lot.
That's a good clue. We'll follow that up.
I've forgotten exactly what it was I read of yours just the other day in the guide, but I chuckled over it because you had some real cute little things in it.
Well, thank you.
I can't remember. It was a front page article. But I just remember that you had some cute little quirks of humor in it.
Well, we try every now and then. Nice when people notice.
Yeah.
Well,
anything that you can, and as I say, I have got these papers. I'm still trying to move from the old house where we lived since 1929, and I've only been at it a year. So I haven't got papers and things sorted out and filed yet. Stuff that was in boxes. But I think I can find those journal things, and I know Robert can find them down at the museum. But the journal got out a real good edition that had the histories of the women's clubs and the men's clubs, too, but there weren't very many of them, and so forth, up to 1936.
Well, good. We have that.
Some church stuff.
We have that date from you now. It should be easy to find. I certainly do, thank you.
July, I think. July 36th.
We'll look there.
July 6th or somewhere along in there. Because you see, I guess maybe it was a centennial of the railroad coming in. Anyhow, the journal found an excuse to put out a memorial edition.
Well, wonderful. That'll be
a lot more advertising.
That'll be very helpful to us.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye. Interview with Clara Lobdell, L-O-B-D-E-L-L, telephone interview, September 17th, 1986. Jennings.